Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking and ICBA Securities. My name is Byron Earnhardt, and I'm the programming director at Barrett. It is our mission here to serve the community banking industry with information that is informative, relevant, and hopefully we'll have a little fun along the way. So, from Memphis, Tennessee, home of banking, blues, and barbecue, welcome to our little corner of the community banking world. And we hope that we can make your bank, your staff, or maybe just even your day a better one. Welcome back to the podcast. And today we've got a returning voice, a returning friend of the show, Paul Nunn from Pinnacle Financial Strategies. And I wanted to bring him back on because in the course of our conversation the last time we talked, he mentioned something out of my past that, quite frankly, I enjoyed doing, but I hadn't heard a whole lot about in recent years in community banking. But it speaks right to what we're doing with efficiencies and competitive advantages and strategies in the community, in the superhero community banking series. And that's mystery shopping, which I thought was a really interesting topic. Like I said earlier, something I enjoy doing in my earlier career. So Paul, for those that are just joining the podcast, why don't you tell the listeners who you are and about Pinnacle?
You bet. Thanks, Byron. My name is Paul Nunn. I'm the Director of Client Education for Pinnacle Financial Strategies. We're located here in Houston, Texas, which really looks about like right now, looks about like the Great White North here. I'm over training and I'm also over mystery shopping for banks and credit unions. So I've really enjoyed getting a chance to share how this really does help banks get that community advantage.
Yeah. And what I thought was interesting in our conversations earlier, Paul, was your discussion about it still being relevant today. And I don't disagree with that. But tell me, because it's been a while since I've done one. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how mystery shopping has changed over the past 15 or 20 years?
Sure. I think the biggest change, there's really things that have changed and haven't changed. The biggest change is the power of the internet. So now you can even shop their website. You can shop the customers, of course, over the phone, but you can shop how easy it is to open an account online. Mm-hmm. And I think that really does take mystery shopping to another level. I mean, yes, you still have the customer, the potential customers. And sometimes, like, we actually have their own customers and we have our own shoppers actually open accounts and become customers. Mm-hmm. So we do take it to a deep level, but from a change standpoint, I think it has to be the internet and also with the internet, the capabilities of reporting. I mean, you can get almost instant feedback on results. You don't have to wait a month or two to get your results on shops. It's almost instant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it's such a, now, instead of just monitoring the integrity of a shop, now you're looking at service quality, you're looking at performance, compliance, as well as the whole customer experience a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I really hadn't thought about mystery shopping in the new digital era of community banking, but you're 100% right. I was thinking I teach a adjunct class for commercial banking at Christian Brothers, and I make them do a mystery shop on a bank and write a report on it. So you're right. It's amazing how much the internet and just the website and getting into the UBPRs and stuff with the information you can get into there.
Yeah.
Given all the changes that has been 2020 and 2021, how has it changed over the last 12 months?
I think, well, of course, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. A lot of our clients are now starting to request different shops, or they want to add questions like, are the branches following the CDC guidelines? Are masks being used? Is hand sanitizer? You know, how many people do they have in the branch? You know, so that sort of thing is we're measuring a lot more drive-throughs because so many more branches are closed. We're measuring service that way. But yeah, the pandemic and letting banks say, hey, are our branches following the CDC recommendations has been a real popular request from our clients lately.
That's good to know. That's good to know. For those that are maybe a little bit younger and didn't grow up with, didn't grow up doing mystery shops the way I did and the way you probably you did in the early part of your career. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what mystery shopping is and what kind of edge that provides to a community bank?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, with mystery shopping, you can do what you can do is you can customize a series of questions so that you've got a person that's an outside contractor. They will say, hey, I'm going to do the shopping for this bank, and they will come in and they will pretend they're a customer or a potential customer. Mm. And in some cases, they'll just do an inquiry. It could be over the phone. It could be in person. It could be through the drive-through, like I said. And sometimes we pay extra. So if the shopper actually opens an account with the bank, and they can actually, or the credit union, get built in the system, did it take? What kind of questions did the banker ask? How did the brand look? You walked in, were you greeted? And so that shopper just provides a report on their experience. And again, talking about the technology, that report is uploaded online by the shopper. We have editors, so we'll go in and we'll do any editing that it needs, and then we'll actually create a summary that we turn around and give back to the bank with recommendations.
And I think we lost you a little bit. The audio there was
sorry about that.
Now, but no, I think you were saying, you know, part of it is that they can ask the type of questions that the bankers are asking.
Right. And we have some banks that'll actually say, Paul, can you just do lending? We want to shop how the lending experience is. So it can be fine tuned to just a teller transaction, the loan inquiry, a loan application, really any sort of service that the bank wants to measure. We'll go in and do that for them.
Paul, one of the things that interests me about mystery shopping from my past and from, I guess, just in general, is the idea of using mystery shopping for competitive intelligence or for a competitive advantage in your community. Is that something that you've seen happen with the mystery shopping program?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there's a story. Actually, there's part of my sales training that I do where, you know, let's say we get the shops done from the, from the branches, but then I'll say, how do you think you set yourself apart from the competition? So during sales training class, I will actually pick up the phone and say, tell you what, let's call a competitor right now. So I have the class tell me, what is a competitor in your market? And I call them right then and there. And it is amazing. Their jaw drops because most every time, Byron, the responses are exactly the same. Hi, thanks for calling XYZ Financial Institution. I'm looking for an opening a checking account. And they'll say, okay, well, we have this account, this account, this account. And here's what you have to do. And it goes on for 10 minutes. And they start realizing that there's good news and bad news. Because when I give them the shop scores or the shop results, they realize the good news is they're not that much different from their competition. Mm. The bad news is they're not that much different from their competition.
Right.
So most every course is an eye-opening experience, especially at the leadership level of we've got to do something to set ourselves apart, because now they can physically hear what their competitors are saying, and they can physically see on paper, and sometimes even recording. We can record these shops too. Mm-hmm. They can hear how their financial institution is doing, and they can truly see what kind of competitive advantage they may have or not have.
Right. Right. Well, and that's what I like about it, was being able to get, and I remember going through it myself, was hearing somebody else almost verbatim say the same thing that I did. And I was like, well, that doesn't really distinguish my bank from their bank. And so it's just kind of dumb luck, for lack of a better word, that caused the customer to walk in. So
yeah, it really does. And, you know, sometimes I hear people, credit union, they say, well, it's the member service experience, and banks do. They say, you know, our service, hey, we want to know, you know, prove it. Let's really see, is your service that much better? Now, for your current customers, I bet it is, because you know them, you've got a relationship. But for people that are shopping, they may or may not go online. They may just have been driving by. You know what? Let me go by and see them. And you've got to raise awareness of what it really truly feels like to walk in unknown.
You know, and I can't speak enough to management. You know, we talk a lot about on the podcast and culture and superhero community banking and all that, learning the culture of the bank, you know, management getting down and asking those questions and just learning their bank. And this mystery shopping idea is just that. And I think if a good way to get out of the corner office, get down into the trenches and see what's really going on, this is a good way to do it.
And it's eye-opening for a lot of leaders where they realize, I didn't realize that we weren't using the name enough. I didn't realize that we were just basically regurgitating the brochure. You know, I didn't realize that there was such a long wait time. You get these eye-opening experiences from senior leadership, and it's always beneficial. It really does. It's not quite the undercover boss, but it's close. And you know what also, Byron, what we do is when we put that executive summary together, I'll put that together for a client. And then not only do we get the results to the senior leaders, we create a coaching plan because part of what I do is coaching. So I will actually coach the leaders on what they need to do to improve the service, because I can go in and train their employees on the customer service skills that we want. And that's another beauty. I can actually train the employees exactly on what's being shopped. So we're measuring, we're repeating, we're evaluating, but then we give the managers the tools and teach them, here's how to have those conversations. Here's how to listen. Here's how to model the behavior that you're wanting to measure.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I'm thinking about it too, in terms of efficiencies. You know, so many times initiatives from management die in the trenches. And I think this would be a good, you know, and the question comes up, well, we didn't do the right thing. You know, that was the wrong project or the wrong, you don't know till you know, and you can only manage what you measure.
Right.
To go back to what one of my former bosses told me, and that stuck with me. That's why I really like this mystery shopping idea. But you know, mystery shopping alone isn't enough. I would think that the data is really only as good as what management does with it. And I like that you do a follow up and a coaching plan. But how should community banks be using the shopping data to improve their customer service?
They need to take that and they need to dissect it. I mean, part of the reporting that we have is we can drill down a shop from the, depending on how large the financial institution, from the regional to the branch to the team to the individual shopper. And what that does is it creates alignment to where, okay, here's the initiative that we've been having. Here's the way it's looking at the branch or at the employee level. So it's what you do with the data, but it causes alignment in the service and the strategies. And it really exposes the validity of the customer service experience initiatives a bank may have. So they're thinking, okay, we're going to improve the service by doing this. And then now we can see that, okay, here we are at a strategic level, but how does it reflect down to the experience level the customer or the member may have?
Mm-hmm. Good points all. And I think this fits in nicely with some of the things that we're doing. And I think I was struck with the idea, Paul, when you and I were talking and then doing this podcast, you know, what is old is now new again. And,
right.
You know, something, you know, I grew up, I remember, you know, in an in-store bank in Cordova, Tennessee, you know, getting mystery shop reports and incentives being tied to that. So, I mean, 20 years ago, this was relevant and it's still relevant now, I think, especially in the new digital era and with the pandemic. I think you brought out some great points there. Paul, remind us how they can get in touch with you if they have any more questions about mystery shopping.
You bet. You can go to pinstrat.com. That's PINNSTRAT.com. You can give me a call at 713-335-4656@pinstrat.com. And let us know, you know, for the folks that are listening, let us know what you're measuring. You know, how do you want to improve your service? You know, what can we do to help you? Because it's as you said, Byron, you know, the shopping alone, the data is not enough. You got to do something with it. And that's what we'll do. We'll sit down, take this data and say, all right, what are we going to do? For some banks, we're going to go in and shop once a quarter and we're going to either train their employees or we're going to coach their managers once a quarter. So we get that information, we measure it, we're basically like sharpening the saw, like Covey says. You're continuing to sharpen the saw so that the service gets better and better and better and better, and that really sets you apart from the other competitors in your community.
Absolutely, absolutely. Paul, thanks again for your time, man. stay safe and warm down there. And we're going to try to do the same thing over here in the great white north. So
you bet.
Thanks for your time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Byron. Everybody stay safe and be well.
Well, that wraps up our episode for today. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss out on the latest episode. We'd also appreciate a 5-star rating as well, as that will help get the content out to more listeners. We appreciate ICBA Securities for their sponsorship, and if you would like to know more about quality investment products, services, and education at competitive prices, check out their website at icbasecurities.com. And finally, if you don't follow Barrett on our social media platforms, be sure to check us out on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook to stay up to date with all the cool new things that we've got coming up. And as always, from Memphis, Tennessee, the home of banking, blues, and barbecue, thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.